Thanks to Janet and Joyce for that highly un-Presbyterian song. That was awesome. That was wonderful. Turn with me, if you will, to the second chapter of Luke. And in the latter part of that second chapter, of course, the first part, we always read at Christmas. They were out in the field, shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. Luke is the only one of the gospel writers who tells us anything about the boyhood of Jesus. In fact, there's this one little glimpse. Jesus is 12 years old. It's the only glimpse of his childhood that we get anywhere other than his birth and the visit of the wise men when he was about two. When Jesus is 12, his parents, Mary and Joseph, took him to the temple for the celebration of the Passover. And you probably remember the story. They left Jerusalem to head home to Nazareth and discovered that Jesus was not among them, that they had left him behind in Jerusalem. There's a universal experience of parenthood that somewhere in the journey of raising a child, it dawns on you, I do not own this person. That they have their own life and their own independent direction to go. That's universal. In fact, Charlotte and I have one, our one son, Tom. When he was born, my mom said to me, just remember, you don't own him. You're a caretaker. And that's true. We celebrate that every time we do an infant baptism. And we've got one coming up. We got to get Stephen baptized. Every time we baptize an infant, we're recognizing we don't own this little one. God does. We are caretakers for a brief time. How much more was that the experience of Mary and Joseph? They thought they had lost Jesus. I'm giving you a preview here. They thought they had lost Jesus. That's a universal experience too. How do you find Jesus when you think you've lost him and you don't know where he is? Okay, hear now the word of God. Luke chapter 2, and I'm beginning with verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me now? Well, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I forgot to mention, just going to take a very brief little detour here. You remember the name Andrew Brunson. We prayed for him for years as he's back home now. A position has been created for him at his home church, which is the Presbyterian Church in Montreat, North Carolina. And they're raising money to create a position for him for 2 years. And at the top of his job description is take the time you need to heal. And so an offering is being taken throughout the Evangelical Presbyterian Church to support him over a two-year period, him and his wife over a two-year period. We're going to take a special offering on January 13. If you'd like to make a gift to that offering, make it out to our church, Christ Presbyterian Church, write Andrew Brunson on the memo line and bring it on January 13. Okay, now back to Mary and Joseph, Luke tells us, they went to Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover every year. It was their custom, they're devout. And it would have been natural for them to take their family along with them, including Jesus. It would also be natural for a big caravan to go from the village of Nazareth to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Every year at the Passover, faithful Jews remembered that God liberated them from slavery in Egypt. They were in misery. They were in slavery. God saw their misery and acted, as the Bible says, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and led them out of slavery. Every year, they were reminded that God will not rest when his people are in bondage. Now, that was especially powerful, wasn't it, in the first century, when the Passover took on huge political significance. They were under Roman occupation. They were under Roman oppression. And they were praying for God to send a deliverer, for God to send the Messiah, a figure like Moses who would lead them not only into freedom, but into a new relationship with God. Now, Jesus was 12. Now, in the modern world, we've invented this thing called adolescence. This sort of, and we keep extending it, don't we? It keeps getting longer and longer. We've invented this thing called adolescence, this sort of period between childhood and bona fide adulthood, when we don't put a lot of weight of responsibility on young people. That was unheard of in the ancient world. As a 12-year-old, Jesus was on the cusp of adulthood, which he would stand before his community at age 13 and say, "Today I am a man." So, and as an almost man, he was expected to know the Torah, to know the story that they were celebrating at Passover, and he was also expected to take very seriously the messianic hope of Israel. Now, of course, Jesus did. And that's what got him into some trouble with mom and dad, right? When the Passover had ended, the contingent from Nazareth set out for home. And it may seem on first reading a little bit strange that how could Mary and Joseph leave Jerusalem and not know where that Jesus wasn't with them. They would have been traveling with a lot of extended family, grandma and grandpa, aunts and uncles, cousins, second cousins, friends from Nazareth. Jesus was 12, so he's at the age where they're giving him a little bit, you know, a little bit of rope. Hey, I grew up in a small town. Have you ever heard of it? I grew up in a little town called Easton. By the time I was 12, as long as I got home by dark, my parents didn't fret too much about where I was. And it was the kind of town where I could have been legitimately spanked by any adult in town. And my parents would have said, well, what did you do? So the fact that they, you know, don't see that Jesus isn't with them is not terribly unusual. We also know that 12-year-old boys prefer the company of their friends to the company of mom and dad. That's not sin. It's a natural part of development, and that's part of Jesus growing up. But they discover, after they've made one day's journey away from Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph discover that they've lost Jesus. Where is he? And then comes this really fascinating journey of emotions. And the first one, of course, is panic. Every parent knows that feeling. When you look around and boom, they're gone. Where'd they go? Jesus may be on the cusp of adulthood, but he's still a 12-year-old boy, and Jerusalem's a big city. And there's a lot of places where a young person from a small town could get into a lot of trouble really fast. After 3 days, they find him. Now, it doesn't indicate that they're looking in Jerusalem for 3 days. That's one day travel away from Jerusalem, one day travel back, one day looking for him in Jerusalem. And now the emotional journey goes from fear, anxiety, to relief, to astonishment. They find him in the temple. They found him in church, and he apparently wanted to be there. They're astonished. And not only that, he's talking with the pastors and talking theology and Bible. And by the way, there's nothing in the text to indicate that Jesus is teaching them. I was looking for an image to use for this, for our Facebook page. Get on our Facebook page. But anyway, I was looking for an image to use with this. And I found a bunch of images on the internet. And one of them, it was an artist's depiction of Jesus in the temple with the elders there. And it said, Jesus, the caption was, Jesus teaching the elders in the temple, the boy Jesus. No, it doesn't say that. It says he was listening to them and asking them questions. They were impressed by answers that he gave, but there's no indication that this precocious 12-year-old takes it upon himself to lecture them. Okay? In the ESV, Mary addresses him, "Son, why have you treated us so?" There's very few places. This is one of them where I have a bone to pick with the ESV. She doesn't say son. That would be ouias. She says technon, child. She's not taking this 12-year-old cusp of adulthood thing too seriously. Child, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. In other words, Jesus, why aren't you where you're supposed to be? They've become accustomed to having Jesus in a certain way. And by the way, before I go any further, I just want you to know that as a parent, even though my son is grown and independent and married, as a parent, I'm just really, every time I read this, I'm so pleased that even the Holy Family had a moment on a family trip when voices were raised and there was a little bit of tight, what Charlotte would call tight-jawed. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. And let me venture to say that this is an experience that you've had. Every person who has known Jesus and who has sought to follow him will come to a point in the journey where you'll say, Jesus, where did you go? I can't find you. We've just finished the celebration of Christmas. And at Christmas, we celebrate the great truth that God is with us. That was one of the names that the prophets gave to the Savior. He will be called Emmanuel. It means God with us. And remember the 23rd Psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. So how do we lose Jesus? Well, sometimes we come off of those high mountaintop experiences like Christmas where we're so vividly aware of his presence. And then we go back to our ordinary lives, whatever our ordinary routines are. And we think, okay, this is ordinary. I don't really need him here. I can handle this, Lord. This is just ordinary time. I can handle this. And we stop talking to him. We stop seeking him in his word. And then as the journey goes along, we suddenly realize we don't know where he is, where he's gone. At other times, sometimes we lose Jesus when there's a tragedy or a really upsetting event in our lives that just knocks us off of our balance. And it's so big and it's so overwhelming that it fills up our whole field of vision and it's all we can see. And so we take our eyes off of Jesus and we focus on that big thing, whatever that problem is. But pain can also get us searching for Jesus. It was the pain of parental worry that got Mary and Joseph searching for Jesus again. And it often takes pain and fear to get us looking for him again. Maybe the search for Jesus got you into church. I was kind of being a little bit tongue-in-cheek about it before, but let's take very seriously that Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the place where people went to look for God, in the temple. And there's a whole lot of voices in our society today that are very cynical about the church. Oh, the church is a bunch of hypocrites. They don't know anything. Well, you know my answer. If somebody says the church is a bunch of hypocrites, you just say, we got room for one more. Come right on in. Don't buy into the cynicism, brothers and sisters. Jesus is found in his church. He promised, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. You want to find Jesus, look in church. Now, sometimes church people are surprised to find Jesus does things other than go to church. And that he's found out there in the world, all kinds of places. But don't get cynical about the church. And that your friends that you invite can find him here and meet him here. But Jesus does things other than go to church. Parents are often astonished to find Jesus at work in the lives of their children, even when they thought their children had taken a wrong turn. And sometimes children are astonished to find Jesus in their out-of-touch parents, who, wow, actually know him. And don't be surprised. People who have always been successful will be astonished to find Jesus in their failure. People who've always been healthy will be astonished to find Jesus present in their sickness. People who are accustomed people who are unaccustomed to loss will be surprised to find Jesus present in their loss and in their grief. Well, on that field trip, or on that trip home from Jerusalem, Jesus was not where Mary and Joseph thought he ought to be. Mary's anger is understandable, absolutely. Child, why have you treated us like this? And the response of Jesus is striking. And by the way, these are the first recorded words out of his mouth. These are the first words that we know spoken by Jesus. Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And by the way, and there are very few places, but this is another bone I have to pick with the ESV. The word house is not in there. It doesn't say, I will. A lot of the translations render it that way. I must be in my Father's house. But the word house is not in there. Literally, it's kind of hard to translate because did you not know that I must be in the things of my Father? The RSV, the old RSV, renders it perhaps a little bit more accurately. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? I'm doing what my Father has called me to do. And there's a real sharp contrast here, because remember, Mary said, your Father and I, talking about herself and Joseph, your Father and I have been looking for, no, I must be about my Heavenly Father's business. And I think Jesus asks us the same question when we wonder where he is. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? I'm about my Father's business in your life. Never doubt it. That may not be your job description for me. But I'm going to be about my Father's business. Did you not know that my mission is the mission of salvation? Jesus is not our ambulance driver who comes when we call 911. He's not a magician or a fix-it man. He has no political affiliation, much as I'd really like for him to have one. He does not protect us from every accident or tragedy. Jesus has come among us on a saving mission from his Father. Salvation from sin and death is his business. And he will be about his Father's business all the way to the cross. He doesn't let anything turn him. Later on, Luke will say he set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem, to the cross. He's going to be about his Father's business. And he conducts it his way. And so when you come to a time in your life, and if you haven't, you will, when you come to a time in your life when you cannot find Jesus, know this. It might seem that he's nowhere to be found, but you have not lost Jesus. You're only losing your expectations of him. That's what was happening to Mary and Joseph. They had to lose their expectations of him and accept him for who he really is. You cannot get away from the presence of Jesus. You cannot lose his presence. Remember Psalm 139, where could I go to flee from your spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, you're there. Jesus is as near as your own heartbeat. The Father has business to do in your life, but it's his business, not yours. But before you can see that, you've got to lay down your expectations. Now, Mary didn't stay angry. Luke says that she treasured up all these things in her heart. That's the same response that she had on the night when Jesus was born and the shepherds came to say what the angels had said to them. And Luke says Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. There would be a lot of that for Mary. And it culminated on a Passover 21 years later when she found herself and found her son nailed to a cross, a place she never expected him to be. But that was where the business of God was being done. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, forgive us for limiting you. Forgive us for losing sight of you. You are faithful. You've called us to yourself. You will never fail us or forsake us. But we lose sight of you, Lord. Give us grace to let go our expectations of what you ought to be and what you ought to do. Give us grace to let go the job descriptions that we've written for you so that we can know you, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you that you came among us determined to obey only the voice of your Father. And you obeyed all the way to the cross where you carried our sin and made us new. And through your resurrection victory, and you lifted us up from death to life so that we have an eternal hope to be in your presence forever. So give us eyes to see in all the changes that life brings and in all those times of darkness to see you and to keep our gaze fixed on you. And we pray it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.